Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We'll stop in plenty of time for prayer tonight, but I want to take you, we're in a continuing series that we're doing entitled Sanctifying Love Takes Sin Seriously, and we're going to continue with that theme. We've been in this now four times, and this will be our fifth time, covering what the Word of God has to say to believers about taking sin seriously, even though you're a born-again believer. There are many warnings to believers, many warnings to Christians that are given. Look at verse 8 of Ephesians chapter 5. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now, conjunction of contrast, something happened. But now are ye light in the Lord. So what do we do? What's the instruction? Walk as children of light. Now, if it was just normal and natural, it was just going to happen, why would he say that? Because he knows the challenges. We still have a sinful heart. Even though we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, our bodies have not been transformed yet, and we still have that sin nature within. We are to walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto whom? Me? No, the Lord. Who sets the standard? It's not me. The standard of acceptability is given in the Word of God by the Lord. And we have a responsibility to do that. Notice verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now again, this play on words, darkness and light. We were one time darkness, now we're light. Now don't have anything to do with, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather do what to them? Play around with it? Be friends with it? Be nice? No, what does the Bible say? We're to reprove it. We stand against it and we reprove it. That means we use our mouth. And we say, this is wrong. Now, if, you know, let's use the alligators, all right? Down at Farrington Lake, there are numbers of alligators that live off of Yellow River that feeds into Farrington Lake. And Bill has a lot of signs down there. They're warning signs. They're for people, though, who can read. And so for those that can't, he's got a picture on there, right? There's a picture on there. And you watch out for the alligators. You're careful. You don't go down there and say, I watch Animal Planet. And because I watch Animal Planet, I've seen Steve Irwin. And I know how he can handle an alligator. He's dead, by the way. He was killed by a stingray. All right? Right off the coast of Australia. And he got speared by a stingray, killed him. Because he tried to pull it out. You don't do that, right? So I just immediately now I'm suspect about messing around with alligators and things that bite and hurt, all right? I'm not going to go up there and say I've watched 20 episodes, therefore I'm a master. I can go out and I can deal with the alligator. You're careful. You're very careful. And you're especially careful with your little ones, all right? You're careful about that. Now, we're not going down to the edge and pet the alligator. Get back. Well, when it goes, get back. All right? What am I doing? I'm reproving. I'm setting boundaries with my voice. Can you do that? Can you immediately set a boundary with your voice and stop something that could be deadly? Stop. Come away from the edge of the road. Can you do that?
Well, we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to be nice. Don't speak harshly. If it saves a life, then you do what you have to do. You know, I don't understand this softy age in which we live. I have to deal with it every day. I have to deal with it every day. I've had people that's already dropped out of our program. I don't like the coach. He hollered at my son to run the other night. I'm not going to have that. That's because he was growing roots on first base. All right? He'd already set down his tap root. It was time to run. You're going to get out. Run. I talked to the coach. I said, was there a problem? The boy wouldn't listen. I said, I already knew that. But Daddy, instead of backing up the coach,
Oh, he hollered at my son, told him to run. That's what you do in baseball. What did you think it was? Deaf mutes out here? And we give hand signals for everything? I didn't grow up that way. I had many a coach. My dad, I've told this story before, I was in the outfield. Okay, right field, where no action ever takes place. Right? It did that night. And it wasn't baseball action. All right? Ball was hit. Poop! I turned around, looked at the... I figured the ball was coming over. I just wanted to see where it was going to land. And all of a sudden, I felt my dad's big, long hand fingers whop on the rear end. Turn around! I turned around. There was the ball sitting right there behind me. I'm over here daydreaming. Pick up the ball and throw it to second. So I picked up the ball and I threw it to second. Too late. He'd already made it to third. All right? Now, my dad was not happy. My dad was not a softie. All right? Now, I know that we live in this age, but the problem is, Christian, we're too happy to conform to this age. Why? Well, we have to be sweet, we have to be nice, and we can't ever say anything that agitates anybody. I want to tell you something. Salt and light. If you ever get confused about it, it's salt and light. What is light? When you turn on the light, darkness flees away. When you put salt on a wound, it burns, but it also heals. You have a cut, you go in the Gulf of Mexico. I remember as a kid, we'd go swimming at the Gulf of Mexico. I'd have a few cuts from working the lawnmower, and stuff would sling up and cut our legs and our shorts when we were working. And you'd go out there in that salt water, whoo! It burned for a little bit, but you know what happened when you got out? There was a layer of whiteness around the wound. And you know what it was? It was the beginning of the salt starting to work on the wound. Now, it didn't feel good to start with, but the salt brought about healing. Salt does something else too. It preserves what needs to be preserved. We've got to get out of the mold of the world, which is darkness, and get over into the mold of Jesus Christ, which is light. And that means you have to have some character. That means you have to ruffle feathers from time to time. And we ought not to be afraid to do that. Did Jesus do that? I'm so tired of hearing the sweet Jesus. The sweet Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. If you were on the receiving end of the cat of nine tails he was swinging, there when he went into that twice, we're told in the Bible, that he went to the temple and he drove out the money changers, he wasn't doing this. Y'all go away now. Isn't that nice? That's the sweet Jesus way to do it. No, it's not. When he picked up that whip, he said, "You're not going to turn my Father's house into a den of thieves. Get out of here!" I believe he raised his voice. Oh, Jesus would do that? Yes. The same voice that said, "Let there be light." And there was light. "Let there be an earth." There was an earth. "All the stars of the heaven," he spoke into existence. It was a voice of authority. Remember what they said about Jesus when he first began to teach? He speaks as one who has, say it please, authority. Now, we all know what that sounds like. If you had a mom and dad growing up that was worth anything, if they weren't a little pushover, a little softy, they had the voice of authority. I knew my dad's voice. And when he said, "Get outside," we got outside. And when he said, "Get inside," we got inside. Because that was the voice of authority. You say, "Well, children ought not to be afraid of their parents." Let me tell you something. The beginning of wisdom is what? The fear of the Lord. Now, understand something. It's not talking about some slavish thing, but it is an overwhelming reverence and awe because God spoke. That's the beginning of wisdom. Some people say, "Well, my parents never raised their voice. My parents never did this. My parents never did that." Well, I'm sorry that you didn't get the benefit. That's all I can say. You missed out. You really did. Because you probably right now have a real problem with authority. I've never had a problem with authority. When somebody's told me what I need to get moving, I don't argue with police officers. If I get pulled over, it's, yes, sir, I was speeding. I don't go into this long tirade of the possibilities that it might have been.
I think my speedometer is 5 or 10 miles off or 15 or 20, something like, I bought new tires.
That's probably what did that. That's the famous one. I bought new tires for my truck. Yeah, 5 years ago. No, I was speeding. All right? I deserve the ticket. We live in a time, folks, where the culture wants you to conform to its aspirations and ideas. But my Bible says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Therefore, walk as children of the darkness? No. Walk as children of the light. We're in a different world now. We're in a different world now as a believer in Christ. Let's continue on. Verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, speak up against them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Whatever exposes the darkness is light. It's good. It's not bad. It's good. We want to expose the darkness. We want it to flee. And I've already had to deal with some folks. How come we can't come up here and practice on Sundays? I said, because Sunday, it's God's day. And this campus is a place to come worship. You're welcome to come to our church. Well, that's not what I meant. I mean, how come we can't come up here and practice at the ball field? Because it's the Lord's day, and we're going to worship. Yes, we're old-fashioned. Yes, we're old-fashioned. We believe. Well, nobody believes that way anymore. We do. Why? We're children of the light. That's why. I don't apologize for that. We've made some folks mad. I had a family last year that was so upset about it that they went over to the Pace Pro because they play games and practice on Sunday. I said, go ahead. Well, can we get a refund? No. That's your choice. It's your choice. We're not changing. Well, we're supposed to be cooperative with people. After all, the customer's always right. Well, evidently, you haven't been to the store lately. I've been in there and I brought things back. So I'm sorry. Sorry, you can't get your money back. Well, I don't need this. Well, it was a hurricane supply. You're kidding me. A screw is a hurricane supply? Yes. It was purchased during the time of a hurricane, so you don't get that money back. Well, you know, the customer's not always right, is he? Sometimes we find out we're wrong. God wants us to walk as children of light. You know why? Because we take sin seriously, and we also take Christ seriously about what He said. He said it. I take it seriously. Let's go on. Verse 14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Again, through this whole thing, it's back and forth, darkness and light. And you'll notice in Christ there's light, and in Satan and in sin there's death and darkness. But then notice verse 15. It's the beginning of a brand new paragraph, but it's an important, it's the theme sentence of this particular chapter. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as what? Wise. You know what that word circumspectly means? Listen carefully. Prudently watchful and discreet in the face of danger or risk. Let me say that again. Prudently watchful and discreet in the face of danger or risk. We face danger, we face risk, but what do? We walk circumspectly. We walk in such a way where we're prudently watchful and discreet, but we still do right. Amen? We still do what's right. We don't sin. That's not walking discreetly. That's not walking prudently if we sin. God wants us to be very careful. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools. What do fools do? Fools do things that are foolish. That's profound, I know. It comes from a great mind. Yeah. Fools do foolish things. I have seen some of the dumbest stuff. And I've done some of the dumbest stuff. All right? As kids, we loved jumping ramps. Man, we would get our bicycles. We'd patch together bicycles. We'd piece them together because we'd break them one day, piece it together, have another bike. And we had Timmy over and Kent and Eric. And we had ramps set up where we would pedal as fast as we could around the house. And we'd come around the corner and go up in the air and then come down on the other side. That's what's supposed to happen. How many of you remember Evel Knievel? Anybody remember him from the 70s? We watched him as he tried to get across the Snake River. That was a disappointment. He didn't make it, all right? And he went up a little ways and went straight down at the bottom. We were like gasping. If he'd have just used a more powerful rocket, maybe, he'd have made it to the other side. But I used to watch him as a kid, and he would jump buses, and he would jump long distances, and boy, he would be these tall, tall ramps. Just scare you to death as a kid. Watching that, you know, is he going to make it? Is he going to fall off the ramp before he even gets down to the bottom? But he would go, and he'd be going 70, 80 miles an hour and go over the top. I remember whenever he was in Las Vegas, and he broke just about every bone in his body. He came down, the front wheel started to wobble. Anybody remember that from that time? Front wheel started to wobble, and then it was just end over end, bone broken, just about every, on the concrete as he was going, sliding down there at 60 miles an hour. But as a kid, we thought we were Evel Knievel. And there were a couple of times, pedaling just as hard as we could. I'm going to beat, we used to mark out how far we could jump. Timmy marked out, I'm going to beat that this time. Pedaling just as hard as we could. And I was pedaling my bicycle, and I got it up the ramp, went in the air, and the front wheel just went, shoom, right off the front. It was just me, the handlebars, and a fork. Anybody know what forks do when you hit the ground? Oh, boy. It was just like a lawn dart. Thud. I went in the ground. I went over the top. And I ended up going into the gate and the fence. And I was just in a ball. And I was just like, am I still alive? Am I in heaven? You know? And, I couldn't believe it. Roger was over there just laughing. Thought it was so funny. Eric and Kent and Timmy, they were just laughing their heads off. And my bike was just stuck in the ground where it landed. Right? That was not an Evel Knievel moment, I can tell you. Thankfully, it was before the days of these. I want to tell you, if we'd have had these when we were kids, Bill, we'd have some stories to share. People would actually believe us when we tell us our stories, stuff like that, because you'd have it right here. We didn't have that back then. Had 8mm, if you were really rich, you had 8mm, and you could film it and see that, but we didn't have that. And I learned some pretty important things. Number one, always check the tightness of the nuts on the wheels. That's a good thing to do. And, you know, we would not get it tight enough as kids. You know, you put the wheel on, you're in a big hurry because you want to get out there and start riding. We wouldn't put it on tight enough, and that day it paid off. With that wheel going flying, that went the furthest. Of all the people that went that day, that tire went the furthest because it just shot out like a rocket, and I hit the dirt. I didn't beat Timmy. Now, let me just say this, folks. That was foolish. That was foolish. Now, I have no desire to do that again. I have lived my life. That happened probably when I was 7 or 8 years old. That was 50 years ago. That's why it's hard to believe. 50 years ago, I pulled that stunt going up the ramp and the wheel going flying off and then whoosh, right into the ground. That was foolish. I learned something. Don't do that again. I've done other stupid stuff, but I didn't do that again. And you and I need to understand something about the Christian life. God doesn't want us to do stupid things. God doesn't want us to live foolishly. He wants us to live the last part of this phrase here, all right? But as what? Again, a conjunction of contrast is put in there. Contrasting the foolish over here, we are going to do what? We're going to act wisely. We're not going to do the crazy stunts that happen so many times. God wants us to take sin seriously. That requires a wise approach. And I hope and pray that as we go through this series, that we would come to an understanding. And I think this is important for us to see the contrast that he makes at the very beginning in verse 8. For you were sometimes what? Say it, everybody. Darkness. But now we are what? Now that implies something about the darkness. The darkness, the world, there's something I can expect from it. It's going to seek to seduce for wickedness and lure believers away from the light. Do you understand that? You have to understand this about the world. You're not insulated where you can just go do whatever you want to do in the world and you're perfectly fine because you got your ticket to heaven. That doesn't work that way. Expect the world to lure your hearts away from light back where? To the darkness. And I'll go even further than that. You have to be careful in church. You have to be careful in church. I just heard this past weekend, was talking with a man that I know that we're associated through the ball program, and he's heavily involved in his church. And he was saying, Todd, he said, we've had a situation where we've had a family in our church that have just had horrendous problems with sensuality and fornication and stuff, and we've been trying to deal with them, but it's been contagious. It's been spreading in our youth group. And it's just come to a head, and we had a major meeting, and it was just ugly. Have you ever had that before? And I said, well, we've had a few meetings through the years. But I said, we haven't had the pervasive pornography and sexuality type stuff, but we have to be on guard all the time. Amen? We have to be on guard. And he said, you know, that was our problem. We were not on guard. And this got rooted in our youth group. And now it's spread to other families, and now they're upset because it wasn't stopped early on. It was allowed to permeate and allowed to continue. And so now it's come to a big head. And I said, brother, I'll be praying with you. That is not an easy thing to root out, but you got to be willing to pull every root. That's not easy. That's hard, especially in this day and age. You ever pulled a root? You ever pulled a dandelion root? Those are hard ones. They break off before you can get the root out of the ground. Brother Mike and I were talking. He's been pulling some of these big briar roots in his yard that's gotten rooted in his vineyard in the back. And he said, I have never seen these big white balls of root system. He said, you dig and you just keep finding another one. And keep digging and find another one. I said, yes. And you got to get every one of them out. Because if you don't, it'll grow right back. It's just the way it is. Now, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to understand something about the world and the culture of the world. It will seek, Christian, to take you and drag you away from light right back into the darkness. It happens all the time. But the person who takes sin seriously and understand, I'm not a child of darkness anymore. I'm a child of the light. Does what? No, I'm not going there. I'm staying as far away as I can get. I'm going to stay over on the light side. Because who told me so? God Almighty in His Word. He said, walk circumspectly. You walk carefully. You don't walk over in the darkness and say, look, didn't hurt me. Oh, see there, didn't hurt me. And now look how far you are from the light. Because it didn't hurt you. Oh, wait. Just wait. You will find out very quickly how much you've been hurt. So God help us to take sin seriously. Father in heaven, I pray that you would help us not only to take sin seriously, but to take your Son, Jesus Christ, seriously. For every look at sin, we need to look 10 times to Jesus Christ. Help us to love the light. Help us to stay away from the darkness. Because you've told us to do that. We're to be children of light. Not children of light and darkness, but children of light. And that requires us to speak up. We're to reprove the darkness. We're to stand against the darkness. We're not to sit back and say, well, it's none of my business. It is our business. We want to warn others so they don't end up in the darkness. We want them to stay in the light. So I pray that you would teach us to be not just defensive, but be on the offensive so that we can expose the sin and save the Christian that is not paying attention and could easily fall into the trap of darkness. We can alert them and help them. Help us not to be enabling others to go into darkness, but help us to be enabling others to get back into the light. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.